Hey, it's the Low Life, Podcast. Do you know anything about that? You jammed the top of Cowboys and Services? Ever read the Neuromancer movies? Ever experienced a new way? Next way?
Yeah, Low Life Podcast found us, whatever. Hey, fucking.
Hi, folks.
We just finished recording the first part of this podcast, and whilst taking a piss break, we found out Mayor Eric Adams has been indicted. So we don't know what's going on yet. This is literally happening right now. So when you're listening to this in the future, you're going to know whether or not his fleeing.
I'm so
column of black SUVs got away or whatever.
I'm so fucking happy. Fucking, I hated that guy for so fucking long.
For half a second, when you said he's living in his house in black SUVs, I was like, oh, he's in custody. And I was like, no.
I don't know. I'm not sure. There's a not zero chance he's like pulling an OJ, like you said. Like, there's like people are gathering outside of his home. Like to see what was going on.
What? Shit. Like, where does he live that people are just like, okay.
A mansion, apparently.
Oh, I'm sure.
What the actual fuck?
Oh, it's really funny. Fuck the cop mayor. Fuck for the amount of things he fucking took funding from to give it to the NYPD. Which is funny because he's getting charged with like federal like corruption charges, which is him just taking money from other people.
Oh, he wasn't given enough money to the federal government.
Almost 24 hours ago, I posted in Comedy and Politics this Blue Sky bit by at brendelboard.bluesky.social. Eric Adams is amazing because when he won, every media person was leaping over each to go, quote, this is the normal, sane leadership that the political left doesn't understand normal, sane American crave. And then every day since that, Eric Adams has been like, leprechauns are real and I'm going to cook one.
I saw that today and I laughed my ass off. This could not be more perfect.
Well, like, if we weren't recording, we would have been in the Discord and
just talking about this.
Eyeball literally just posted Eric Adams really brought the city together in their dislike of him.
And yes.
Given the amount of Irishmen involved with the New York City Police Department, that sounds rather offensive to me.
This is, you know, I got to put an emoji on that post. Anyway, yeah, I'm coin-op.
You know, I actually,
Shadow Link.
I actually didn't know who Eric Adams was before.
Oh, don't worry about it, country boy.
You're probably better off. It's okay.
Go back to, this is a East Coast city. You know, you're in the country. Well, it's fine.
I mean, if you want, you can
go back to the farm. Yeah, you'll be fine.
If you want, go ahead and sit back and tell you the story about Mayor Eric Adams.
this is the guy who just tried to, like,
there was a very corrupt politician.
And apparently someone Harry called his ass because, like,
he just had to downplay the shootout in the metro. Like, a bunch of
transit
cops went off.
I'll forget that.
The mass shooting committed by the New York Police Department.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a mass shooting every Sunday, so it doesn't fucking
but usually it's not the police doing it.
I was on the phone.
Novel thing.
No, I was on the phone with somebody there, like, I know that was like, oh hey, I heard you moved back to town. I was like, yeah, where'd you move? I was like, yeah, up at this place. And they're like, oh, good luck. And I was like, fuck you, like, what do you mean, you know, like, people live where they live. Like, they know what they know. They've been different places. They know how to deal with people and deal with neighbors. And it doesn't matter. I lived in fucking Arlington, Virginia. It's like one of the wealthiest, like, fucking what do you call it? Counties like in the country. Right? It's like the center of like your fucking intelligence community. Like DARPA is there. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a house blew up a mile away from me. And then around the corner, just up the block from my favorite bar, this guy got arrested for building firebombs in his apartment. Like, mm-hmm. I don't
January 6th was like down the street from you.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm worried about Youngstown. No, man, I know it's rough. Like, whatever. It's just, it's like condensed and concentrated Chicago.
Yeah. But you know what? That's accurate because, like, Chicago, you know, shit like that happens literally every single fucking day.
Yeah. Like every 40 blocks. Like,
yeah, seriously.
How many Chicago mayors have been indicted? I mean, my God.
I mean, at least they're open with their corruption because when you go to Chicago, it's like, oh, corruption is what makes this place operate, and laws are more of a suggestion there than anywhere else.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The cops do nothing. It's great. Yeah. It's actually refreshing to live in a city where everyone knows this is just what is crime is what makes this place operate. I've done things. OSHA, what's that?
I'm pretty lucky because like the two times I was like caught by police smoking weed, the first time I was in a park with a buddy I worked with and we were sitting under this like kind of cliff shelf near the river and we smoked a whole joint together and had this real fun conversation. Then we looked up and right across the river was this park ranger just standing there with his arms folded and we finished and we pinched it out and put it in our pocket and he just shook his head and walked away. And it was like, that hurt more than anything else.
Yep.
You know, so and then
he wasn't mad. He was disappointed.
He was just disappointed. Like he just put his head down, just shook it and walked away. And it was like Smokey the Bear watching right. You like pull out a flamethrower. And the second time I was like in Chicago and me and this dude I went to school with, we were like standing kind of under the bridge near the South Shore train tracks and we were smoking a blunt and then we hear like a whistle and we look up and there's this like, just this cop looking over this bridge at us. And he's just like, hey. And we were like, all right. And we put it out. And he's like, okay. And he walked away. And I was just like,
he did it. He technically did his job. And that's what can be expected in Chicago.
Don't make me come down there.
Basically, yeah.
He's like, I
don't want to come down there.
Yeah. Just,
like, I would be okay with that kind of cop. But like,
then, you know, Chicago PD is also the same police force that had fucking black sites. Yeah. So, you know,
yeah. They have a torture building like in the South Side. Somewhere, Wilson probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not anymore.
They had to move it. Yeah, now it's just in various basements.
Yeah,
the city is massive. People don't understand.
It is
Chicago's so big.
Chicago is a silly place.
I shall not go there.
No, you should totally go there.
Go there. It's amazing. It's like a grown-up fucking amusement park with murder as an option. Like, it's fantastic. God. Best food you've ever had, and then also get a bullet. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
Might be an extra in a TV show, and also, like, have your legs sawed off by the train because someone pushed you under the tracks. It's great. Sometimes the train catches on fire. Sometimes the train will switch, like, the green line going south. It'll, like, the one car will, like,
it will just take you to the worst parts of the city.
No. It does this really cool thing where, like, it'll start curving. So, like, two cars will go off to the right, and then the thing will switch between carriages. And so, like, part of the car is going right, but then the line switches and it goes straight and then it rolls.
Yeah. If you've ever wondered why me and Coin Ops are the way we are, it's because we lived in Chicago for many
years. Briefly, like three. I was there for 3 years.
So we lived there for three. I lived there for seven.
Yeah, we have trains that catch fire at home here in DC. So
right, no, 100%. Just by putting on the brakes. Sometimes it rains and waterfalls just hit the trains, and it's just like, what part of me is going to get electrocuted here?
Yeah, the rain could kill you there.
It's
isn't this the same
wild
city where they reverse the flow of the river? Because fuck you.
Chicago, yeah, basically. Like that, yep.
Yep. Anyway.
Anyway. So
that was we got off tracks a little bit.
Why didn't interrupt?
We're talking about a movie.
Cyberpunk Librarian's here. Dan's here. Right. Yeah. Shadowlink's here. Zero's here. Scum's here. I'm here.
Hi. Give to our Patreon. Patreon.com/NeonDystopia. If you enjoy, you give us a dollar. God, you interrupted it.
God,
thank you to all.
That was loud as fuck on my end. God,
I'm sorry.
Can't have nice things.
Thank you to all of our patrons currently, and check out Neon Dystopia. Yeah.
I was going to say if you like this content, but now I'm not so sure.
And also go to cyberpunklibrarian.com. Yes. He also has a bunch of podcasts where he does fiction. It's great.
Yeah, he doesn't cough directly into the microphone either.
Here's the thing. I covered my mouth, and it deflected it directly into the microphone.
The mic is literally directly in front of your face.
Very nice.
I'm not used to this. I'm used to like being at an awkward, scolio.
Yeah.
If you put your hand over your mouth, it's going to just shove the microphone into your mouth.
So I can totally do that whole,
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
It's not great.
If you're just tuning in, which is weird because this is the second part of a movie episode.
Yeah.
But if you're just tuning in, Cornops got a new mic for like $40 from a Target gift card he found in a sofa. Yeah. So.
No. It was not in a sofa.
Okay.
It was a lot of places, but not there.
And it's a special mic we got just for this episode of the conversation. Yes.
Yeah, and I'll also be using it when I'm playing Helldivers now.
Cool.
Maybe. Nice. I don't know. Cool. Fuck. Anyway, so Harry Call gets laid, or doesn't, has a weird dream, wakes up, finds out Homegirl stole his shit.
Of course she did. Yep. Because of course she did.
Yep. He waited a whole week to listen to part two when I put them out at the same time. What is wrong with you? You should have put them right on. Being generous sometimes. Sometimes it goes over.
This is the magic of podcasting.
That's right.
Some people believe in delayed gratification.
Yeah. Everything we spoke about, like this. Eric Adams getting arrested, that's all outdated now. When about the time you're listening to this,
yeah. It's not on me. I ain't making enough money.
No, he could have caught and ate that leprechaun by now.
Oh my God, I can't believe that shit happened during the break.
Oh man,
wild.
Anyway, before
the break,
but I like derail them.
He's fucking. He's all fucked up. His shit's gone. He's freaking out.
Yeah, okay. Eric Adams.
No, Eric Call.
Yes.
Eric Adams is such a boring name.
Poor Kane.
So he runs to try and see the director again to the Brutalist Concrete office building, and I guess this is over the weekend because
wait, Eric Adams. Hold on. It's like his initials, man. This whole time, E A. You know, like.
It's in the game.
I'm sorry. I can't let it go. Jesus. Oh, man. Why would you want to be mayor of New York?
Better question. Yeah.
Anyway, Harry Call, something freaking out. I missed up. Where are we? Jesus Christ. 10 minutes.
He's running back to try and get his tape.
Before that, somebody calls him at his apartment. I think Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Calls him at his apartment.
They're not supposed to have his number.
Yeah.
We've established this.
And he asks, how do you get this number? And
yeah.
He just matter-of-factly tells him, anyone that has a contact with the director, we do an entire dossier on them.
Mm-hmm.
So they had, who watches the Watchmen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then who watches them? This movie really, I think I might have heard about this movie by reading a bunch of Robert Anton Wilson stuff, because he talked about a lot of shit.
Sure.
Yeah. And one of the things was this whole idea of the biggest threat to national security ends up being national security, because there's layer after layer of secretive bullshit, and you don't know what anybody's doing at any given moment. There's no oversight and there's no goal.
Yeah.
Scanner darkly. It's like PKD,
It's like, we got to keep our secret. Who gives this
another classic from the 70s. Dude, that is one of my favorite books.
Yes.
Yeah. Scanner darkly. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And fucking Linklater's movie's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
Really good.
It was a really good adaptation.
Yes.
Only way it could have been done.
Oh, man. The book, the part where I think it's Bobby? No, it's not Bobby. It's the guy who's Charles Freck. There we go. Freck. Yeah. Where he hallucinates the alien
that
shows up in his bedroom and is reading off all of his sins.
Are you here to read me my sins?
6 million counts of masturbation.
And I'm like,
seems a little low.
Oh man. I mean, I don't laugh when I read books, but that part fucking had me guffawing.
Yeah.
No, it was just it captured it. So I've been to houses like that. I've had friends who've lived in houses like that. It was a really good encapsulation of paranoid, drug-addled you know.
Well, I mean, well, it's
trying to survive.
That was the house that Philip K. Dick lived in.
Yeah,
you know that, right?
Yeah.
Because like he sheltered a lot of like homeless and drug addicted teens, and a lot of those kids died.
Mm.
So
okay, we're getting a little off track.
Anyway,
there is one thing I wanted to go back to just real quick. I saw it in my notes. It's like, this is another one of those lines that, holy shit, this was beautiful. It was something that Harry said during his dream, where he's basically shouting at Cindy Williams, and you can tell that she's paying attention to him, though it's not clear that she can hear him.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, "I'm not afraid of death. I am afraid of murder."
Yeah.
That's really the standout.
And you know, that kind of says something about this. He's not afraid to die, but he's responsible.
Yeah.
Right.
For it's three guilt. Murders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the guilt thing. It breaks him to think that he had anything to do with that, because he's trying.
He thinks
just do the job, turn in the audio. That's the job. That makes me good. I do the job. Yeah. It makes me good. Like that mentality that's very engendered in the country at the time, and even now, kind of.
Even now, like especially, you know, he's Catholic. Yeah. I mean, he thinks he's a good person,
and this makes him really sympathetic. Honestly,
well, no. It doesn't make him think he's a good person. That's the thing.
Yeah,
I'm Catholic. Heyo.
Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah,
not a good time, man. Not a good time.
You know what? Not even being Catholic, like
even without the Catholic.
I was raised non-denominational, and I,
without the Catholicism,
come on,
even without the Catholicism, it makes him very sympathetic of the idea of like I don't want to kill anyone.
That's right.
Yeah, it's very human.
Thou shalt not kill. You know what I mean? It's very much in the wheelhouse of every. You'll see, like, also going later on, like how just casual his Catholicism is. Like, just the things that he chooses to take and not take and break and not break, et cetera. Yeah, it's just very. It's very funny.
I mean, that's being Catholic, basically.
Kind of. Yeah. The idea of the idols, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, anyway, he gets that phone call, freaks him the fuck out.
Yeah,
because he thinks he's like you know, it's like thinking like, well, I'm not on this social network. I'm on this one. Well, you're fucked.
Sorry. I'm on Telegram.
I'm on Parler, where they where they need to have my ID.
Right,
it's totally secure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why they tell him, you'll come Sunday at 2:30, whatever, and you'll be paid.
Yeah. Fucking, if you've sent an email, you're fucked. Like, it just, come on.
Yeah.
But this guy's trying to play the game. He's trying to be like always, you know, like deleting the tracking stuff off the back of a post, you know, like he's doing that aspect of it, you know, on this level. Like today would be like me when I post to Instagram to the Discord. I'm just like, well, I'll get it back to the fucking question mark and see if the post preview this time, you know, like I'm sorry. I'm just lamenting the shitty world in which we live with, like, what our tech could be doing. How good it worked for so long. And then just AgitPi, I swear to God, you son of a bitch. I hope your shoes get tied together constantly. I hope ants find your taint.
Things definitely took a turn.
Yeah.
And so, Bill Clinton also.
Yeah. All right. Just. Yeah.
I've got a list of grievances, gentlemen.
Oh, man.
Back to the film.
Listen, let's just fuck Reagan. What a piece of shit.
Moving
back to Nixon. Okay. What a piece of shit. Yeah. Hey, this movie came out around the same time as him leaving.
And Reagan would have been governor of California at this point, right?
And Gil Scott Heron would have written the amazing B movie about it. Fantastic track. Seek it out. So funky. Anyway.
All right. Yeah, so we finally see Robert Duvall. He's the director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets back to the office building, and the tape is already playing in the background. Yeah.
And he just walks up to the office at this point.
Yeah.
This movie kind of subverts your standard Hollywood expectations, because you figure, you know, phone rings.
That's later when he has to fight. I put in strong quotes, fight.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
I mean, it's later.
You expect that, you know, when he gets the phone call, it's the dangerous guy, And he bring us the photos or we'll kill you. No, right. Bring us the photos and we'll pay you.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you're they not even have, worth killing. Yeah, they already have the, the recordings.
They got everything they need. Just bring us the photos. We'll pay you and fuck off.
Yeah. We know everything about you.
Yeah. And the other part of this, though, is that, okay, so again, with this whole op that's going on in the background, ops within ops, we already found out that you know, the whole scene with Bernie and the honeypot to get the tapes was all a setup, like obviously from get go. Obviously, Harrison Ford had talked to him in the bar at the convention or something, but had retained his services to do exactly what he did. Mm-hmm. This part is interesting because, as you said, they could say, like, we have what we need, fuck off. They need him to come in. They need him to lay out the money, which is already in an envelope, but they wanted, this is all set dressing for the director. Because you hear the director arguing with Harrison Ford's character. He's saying, like, you're just saying what you want me to hear. You know, you're just telling me what
you
it is.
You want it to be true.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that part kind of didn't make sense to me at first. It was like, you know, the first time he just gives him this envelope and he wants him to send him on his way. But this time you have to have the professional come in and as part of the set dressing to kind of, to show the director like what's going on and have him taken in on the whole operation too.
Yeah, they're like setting up the bait for something else, and Harry thinks it's something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so fucked. There's like so many different things happening at the exact same time from this point on, and you're going to be wrong about most of them.
Yeah,
and it's fine.
Are we gonna like?
It's
like,
fine. Like, you loud. Get it.
because the way it's laid out, it makes it seem like this is a jealous husband. Or because you find out when he goes up to the office, you see a picture of the director and the woman that was being surveilled.
Yeah,
and she's married to him.
Yeah.
So then you start putting the pieces together and then you're like, oh, this guy wants to fucking kill these people.
Yeah.
Because
you think
he's cheating on him. And you think that.
Yeah.
And that's why he says you want it to be true because you think, or that's the vibe that you get when he says you want it to be true because you think that he is he's in denial that his wife is cheating on him.
It's the obvious thing, considering how little context Call actually has to what's really going on.
Yeah.
That's not his job to know.
Yeah.
And I thought it was hilarious that, you know, he believes that this is a dangerous situation, that, you know, Robert Duvall's character, the director and his assistant are probably looking to kill this couple or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm going to calmly sit over here at this desk, take the money out of the envelope, put it in nice little stacks, and count it.
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to this thing that I didn't want to give you in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
It's. So things get real weird from here.
Yeah. This. I need help with this part.
The
guys.
Movie was strange up to this point. It got weird after this. Yeah.
This is where it gets really like, oh man, Harry is broken.
The director says something like, "Hey, you know, would you mind not counting that here?" And as Harry's leaving, he says, "What are you going to do to them?"
As if he's going to tell him.
Yeah.
Don't they just like look at him?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's just cold.
Yeah.
It's just fucking cold. Fucking
and you, God.
It's that thing when you realize that you don't belong here. Why are you here?
And also, like considering it's, you know, Robert Duvall, you assume that like he's going to set up like a hit on these people as well.
It's just what Harry absolutely believes is going to happen.
Yeah.
That was another thing, another part of the recording. Like one of the last things that they say is they're talking about meeting at room 773 in this hotel.
Right. To do it this week. Yeah.
Yeah. On like Sunday or something at like 8:00. So, yeah. So, I mean, I'll let someone else take this bit.
Weird. It gets weird at this point.
It gets weird.
Real weird. Because right now we have like, well, we know later bad information. We don't actually know what's going on because we know as much as Call does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think
takes on it too.
It's like, set up in a way that like it sets up and knocks it down. It's like, okay, you got this couple, you got a room, you got a time. And so it's kind of like a ticking clock in Carrie's head.
Yeah.
And he starts to have like visions of what is going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. He's having like a panic attack.
Oh, yeah. He's not having okay. a breakdown. I mean,
yeah. He thinks someone's getting like axe murdered in the next room over.
Like, he thinks it's going to look exactly like this and like all this other shit until like he goes to get the room.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's already occupied. So there's almost this like weird kind of prophetic premonition sort of thing going on here.
Even though
he
kind of,
so he gets the room next to it. And then he does one of my favorite things in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
He straight up like sets up surveillance like next to a toilet under a sink.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He covers it up by flushing the toilet and then like he drills
to
a little bit.
To use this little hand drill with like where you push it in to turn it kind of thing. It's my God. It's so
what demented. I loved is when he opened like his tool case.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw this, I pause. And I'm like looking over the shit. It's like, holy shit, this is real gear.
Yeah.
I mean, that weird looking gun thing, that's a lock picking gun. It's a snap gun. It's used for picking locks. I mean, he has like real gear in there. Whoever, you know, Francis Ford Coppola hired to do their homework did their goddamn homework.
Yeah. He probably knew a couple of things.
Everything in that case.
Like pre-internet research is impressive to me.
Yeah.
Do it.
Because
well, Coppola, again, this was one of his like bigger passion projects, to say nothing of. Mm-hmm. Whatever Megalopolis. Well,
this was the movie he wanted to make, but I have to make The Godfather first.
Right.
I love that call. Man. I love that call. Fucked up this bathroom for no reason.
Yeah.
He's drilling holes and shit. He's putting cameras into pipes. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the toilet exploded. Like just blood.
Oh no, that's when he goes to check the room next door.
Oh right. Oh okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes and he like everything looks completely normal.
Well, hang on. Okay, yeah, we're not there yet.
We're not
you're
there
leaving
yet.
Out yet another mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Where he goes outside because he's hearing the noise.
Yeah.
Well, like for all his skill, he just can't like really get a read on what's happening. Like
right.
There's a mic in there, and it's like. Just sort of raised voices.
Yeah, he like starts hearing people next door and they're like arguing. And they're
it's the teachers from Peanuts.
Yeah,
it's right. Almost, basically, yeah.
It's almost worse that he gets little info
right.
than if he actually was hearing.
Do you know what this is? This is how you become a conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
This is so perfect.
Underneath a hotel sink next to the toilet, drilling holes in the wall.
Yeah, it starts that, when you're
that
young
and
tired. And listening.
On his face as he as he gets the probe in and he starts listening. It's just the camera. It's got to be like a 10-second zoom into his face. And you can watch Gene Hackman lose his shit in
It's fantastic.
He just his eyes, I could never be this kind of actor where his eyes just glaze and he is not here anymore. Harry Call is not home. Please leave a message.
Gene Hackman disappears into Harry Call, who disappears into the act of surveillance.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely. It disappears under the covers in the bed.
Yeah, he literally does. Because he's like just having a panic attack. Because it's like the worst thing. He is present for the worst thing that ever happened to him, which was people getting murdered due to something he did.
This is that thing. This is, okay, the world is going to end on this date.
Yeah.
And I am helpless to stop it. And here he is next to the event thinking, like, what do I do? What do I do? Like, I predicted this. I Cassandra'd the shit out of this. And now, what do I do? What do I do? And what he does is he loses his motherfucking mind.
Well, okay, let's explain, like, how it exactly pans out, right? Because he walks out on – because he's hearing this struggle next door. And then he walks out onto the balcony.
Yeah.
And he's, like, trying to – and there's like this kind of this frosted glass pane that's separating the balconies.
It's dreamlike.
Yeah, it is nightmarish. It's the most
the same
nightmarish
thing as the like interference on the audio.
Yeah.
It's just enough to recognize the thing.
Yeah. This is like
and
the most
the fog
nightmarish
in his dream
moment.
Where woman on
the movie.
Same woman.
Yeah. Yep.
Because he's like walks
same
out.
Same woman, same fog. Yep.
Yeah. He walks out and then he looks over. And then it's just like a flash frame, just
the
like
only jump scare blood. In the movie.
Yeah, we get a jump scare.
I came out of my fucking
couch. Well, and it's
couch,
it's a good one because it's scary. It's like fucking terrifying. Yeah. It's like because
well, this
that's,
movie
that's
it starts so that's, even, and then it just. ramps so subtly. Yeah.
That's kind of
and
the.
And then you get to this and you're just like, oh, fuck, what was I doing?
That is the memory that you would have if you do what Harry does next, which is he dissociates for like 10 hours. He witnesses another murder. And then he's like, okay, I'm just going to go to bed.
Except he
just lays there. He doesn't even.
And that jump scare is the same thing he saw in his premonition sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's the same shot.
Yeah, because it's just her, or we could tell a woman screaming. There's blood.
There's a bloody handprint on the glass. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the moment where I really start feeling like this movie's taking place from Harry Call's POV. And you're starting, like, from the first premonition, you're just getting shit out of order.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, that happened, but it didn't happen then. It's just his mind is so broken that him trying to retell it to you.
Yeah.
Is like watching he's damaged, man. Like, because
this is where, like,
damaged
the whole part towards the end here, you have to wonder how much of it is actually happening and how much is just happening to Harry.
Yeah.
You really don't know.
Exactly.
I believe the toilet happened.
Yes.
Oh, right, right, right. Yeah.
Because he goes into the other room next to his, right?
After the 10-hour catatonic.
Yeah.
Spots. Like minty bee he has.
Yeah, fucking Harvey Keitel.
He breaks into the next room. He actually uses the lockpick and he breaks into the next room pretty deftly. And everything seems all right.
Yeah. He even checks the
pulls a little salt burn.
Bath drain and it's dry. There's no underneath blood or anything. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And that's like, I wouldn't have thought to do that.
It's
until
kind of a pro move.
Until
he flushes the turlet. And it turns out whatever they tried to stuff down the toilet, like the rags they used to clean the fucking room or whatever, like it just overflows and just like the Shining's fucking
very Shining-esque.
Yeah, that's what leads me to believe that that's not real. It can't be real.
It seems dreamlike, but I think Coppola himself even said, no, that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just blood just bubbles because like a bloody rag comes out of it and then it's just blood.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's pretty gnarly. Yeah,
it's pretty great. It's pretty metal. Yeah, like for everything in the movie, and then this happens. It's like, oh fucking shit! What the fuck is happening? This movie ratchets up so hard at the end. Like it's pretty great.
So Harry reacts the way anyone does, and
his soul leaves his body.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he just goes home and is like,
he's not doing okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is.
And then, oh man,
possibly my favorite thing about this movie. So
he tries to. Doesn't he go? He goes back.
He goes back to the office building.
He goes back to the office building, and again, this isn't another one of my favorite scenes because this is just a dude who. This is accurate to life. This is a dude trying to fight who can't actually fight. And fighting other men who don't actually know how to fight, because this is an office building, sir. This is a Wendy's, okay?
Well, the one guy that he meets on the stairs that like pushes him back down the stairs, only guy that's got a gun. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
The message has been sent.
I think it's one of those things, like, I would think that guy knows how to fight, but he knows he doesn't have to. This is some schmuck.
Yeah. Well, as we've learned, he has the high ground.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll see myself out. We'll be right back.
CoinOps has been booted off the podcast. I am now in control. No, it's like he goes in. He's like, all right, I want to talk to the director. I want to talk to. It's like, well, they're like, well, no.
Yeah.
They said that he's like out of town or something. Shit.
Counterpoint.
Yeah.
No, they're like, no, like, fuck, like, what are you talking about? Of course you're not going to see the director. It's like, you're not even in the, like, you've been paid. Fuck you.
Yeah. There's a weird physical altercation. Deal done.
He tries to force his way in. He tries to, like, rush him. It's like, maybe if I rush past him. And then he's basically just pushing, shoving.
It's one of the other super pathetic things in this movie.
It really is.
It's so real. I love it.
I love it. Because he basically just fights two men and loses like, spectacularly.
It's not even a fight. It's just really like
they literally like carry him down the stairs.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, oh, I'll go myself. He's had, mind you, this raincoat on the whole time.
It's so awkward. It's so like little
it
man.
It smells so bad, man.
It's what it would look like in real life.
He looks like a dweeb.
He should have been able to access the director just based on the odor around him.
Because it makes him look really pathetic, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a fucking afterthought.
It's piece such
of costuming. It's incredibly annoying. It's brilliant.
Yes.
I love it so much. It's such the opposite of the cool cyberpunk look.
It is.
It's almost a parody of it before it existed.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's anti-cyberpunk.
I love this movie so much.
I do too, compared to other things that we've covered. It's just because of how awkward and kind of pathetic, and but also really sympathetic Carl is.
Yeah. And he's masterfully shot with the most interesting audio of the era.
Because I'm I wouldn't call him a hero, because he's the protagonist. And he is very sympathetic.
Yeah.
And he's trying, like anybody else, he's trying to be a good person.
There are no heroes in this.
He's just bad. Not. Yeah.
It's just a noir.
Almost everybody in this movie that you meet, aside for maybe Terry Garr, is just I don't like them. You know what I mean? But they're so compellingly rendered.
I think I wanted him to be more of a Travis Bickle, just a real,
I mean,
but we have a Travis Bickle.
Yeah.
I think it's part of the reason, because when I first saw this movie, I watched it around the same time I saw Taxi Driver, and I was just
different animal.
Move the mic away from your mouth a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would get a little too sexy for you there.
But yeah, they really ineffectually kind of throw him out, and that's when he passes by this press conference that's happening, because we realize that the director's been killed in a car crash. It's they show a headline or a newspaper. I don't remember.
Did you see a body wrapped in plastic at one point?
Well, we see a lot of really, really fucked, scary scenes where Robert DeCarlo is covered in plastic and stabbed in the neck, and it's just all blood and really graphic.
Where did that come from?
Well, I think that's Harry's life.
That he was going to have the couple killed, but when it was always...
I got that. Yeah.
He misheard the line.
This is
because in this moment they play it back, but it's how she actually said it.
Yeah.
And it is, oh fuck, instead of, oh, these guys are in trouble. And it's it makes this whole movie snap together so fucking hard that I had to pause it and walk away.
How did she say it?
Well, what was the line? The
line was, he'd kill us if he had the chance.
Right. So it was he'd kill us if he had the chance, or he'd kill us if he had the chance, is different readings of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and absolutely. That's the thing. He'd kill us if he had the chance.
Right.
So we need to get him first.
So let's go ahead. Yeah.
How you say something.
As it turns out.
Yeah.
It's an interpretation. Again, this is totally how to be a conspiracy theorist.
We have to look at everybody else on that side of the conspiracy, thinking who knew what, when, why did they even contract this conversation to be recorded? Did it matter? Who knew?
The worst.
I think the guy with the glasses, the young guy, definitely knew. I feel like she didn't really know what was happening. It's just, you can draw so many yarn lines.
He doesn't even know what part to process first. Mm-hmm. He is pure instinct at this point.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, he's doing his job, which is here's what he's trying to do. In this moment, for the rest of the fucking movie, he is trying to reverse engineer what he does. Mm-hmm. And he has been told by his rivals that he is the best, and we watch him absolutely fucking destroy his apartment in one of
the
most
say,
frustrating.
Yeah. This movie, it's like every noir film plot ever where, you know, you have the femme fatale who's married to the rich man who gets into an affair with the loner. And then they plot to kill the guy for his money. It's Double Indemnity, and you're
But we're not even in that perspective, though.
Let him cook.
Yeah, you're watching it from the outside. You're watching it from Harry. Yeah. You're seeing it from a different perspective.
Yeah, you're not seeing the story. You're seeing the observer, and you're observing them, which makes it fucked up. It's not even meta. It's just weird.
I'm trying to think of a good example because,
it's not even an unreliable
characters that in a noir that are kind of trying to figure out what the murderous protagonists are trying to do.
Yeah.
So,
and it's not an unreliable narrator; it's an ignorant one.
Yes.
Yeah, he's trying to do the right thing based on faulty information. It's fucking tragic. Everything about this is just, this hurts, bud. This is worse than watching your friend fail at karaoke. This is so much worse than that.
He's not far wrong.
No.
He is wrong.
He missed the target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the right idea, wrong person.
Uh-huh. It's so menacing. It's so menacing when Call is there at the press. Like, he crosses paths with the press conference.
Yeah,
he sees Harrison Ford and the guy with the glasses. Yeah. Harrison Ford just looks right at him.
As they're
walking.
Yeah.
As far as we can tell, the guy with the glasses and Cindy Williams' character, they don't know who this dude is. They have
no idea.
Yeah. They still have no idea who this
is. No idea who he is.
Like, they see Cindy Williams in like a limo and she's like going over paperwork. I think it's probably like his will or something. Law's will.
Yeah.
But they have no idea who this person is.
She's the new director, possibly. Yeah. Yeah.
There, she had a lot to gain from the director's death.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, for sure.
Then, we get this dropped on us and Call, like, who he is as a person has basically been like broken down, and because it's not even a matter of like him losing. It's the matter of he was trying to do the right thing, and it didn't. I wouldn't even say it backfired. It's just say that like he just, like you said, he's just operating off of like not wrong information, but a wrong interpretation of it.
Yeah.
So he goes home dejected, and. Don't they call him at one point? They call him and he picks up.
It's such a creepy song.
Hold on. He's playing sax, right? He's chilling. He's doing his thing, right? He's got that bit on.
Decompressing,
He's doing the thing. I love this thing that seems to make him happy. Yeah. It's so beautiful when he does this. And then he gets a phone call and they're playing his sax.
He gets a phone call.
Right, that's right.
Picks up the receiver. Here's a click. And, if you're paying attention to the movie, you know that's a fucking bad thing.
Yeah.
He puts his phone down like nothing ever happened. And then a couple seconds later, he gets the phone call again.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a tape reel rewinding.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's him playing sax.
It chills you.
Then a voice is like, "We know you know."
It's Harrison Ford.
We know that you know. Don't involve yourself any further.
Which again
subverts expectations. I mean, it's a Hollywood movie. We know you know. We're coming for you. No, we know you know.
Just don't make us come for you.
Don't stay in the lane. What you do.
Yeah.
Be the good man that you think that you are. Be the good part of our system.
I mean, they don't say that, but
I mean, but that's
it's a lot more honest. The message
you're sending is very minimal and very clear.
Yeah.
And then he loses his goddamn mind.
Yeah. Because
now he already had like clearly violated sense of security because he knows what can be done to him.
Right.
But now it's like
he knows what can be done. Now. He's done things beyond imagination. He, again, has been told he is the best at this. He is the best
He feels that he's probably being monitored, which he unfortunately is.
Is it paranoid if it's true?
And proceeds to, in real life, destroy this fucking apartment.
Yeah. And when I say pulls up the hardwood floor, he also pulls up the brace boards beneath it. Like it's
the bug. Like everything.
He hesitates at the statue of Mary.
Yeah.
At first.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's the breaking point.
The last thing.
No problem smashing what is like maybe $8,000 worth of amps.
Oh
yeah.
Okay, he destroys his amps.
He destroys everything.
Like, oh god.
Yeah, but then he comes back and then he smashes the Mary statuette.
Yeah. I mean, it's such like, a thorough,
just chef's kiss on that. That's
the last thing he destroys is his religious symbolism.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah,
because he takes the molding off the doors. He takes the wallpaper off. He goes into the walls.
Yeah.
He destroys the floor, the furniture, everything.
Like
he
fuckers,
takes the phone apart
after this.
I'd say that is like about an 87% destroyed apartment. And then like he's sitting there on the floor with his legs beneath where the hardwood would be, and all he has is his sex, which he hasn't destroyed.
Yeah,
which. I've read a bunch of articles, and there's speculation that that's where the bug is.
Sure.
But, which, I mean, That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah. No.
You wouldn't
have
be able
have
to
you ever it. Shoved a microphone inside a sax and got
trying
to
get let
a
me stick
recording.
This mic in my mouth and to show you how to it's not.
The sax makes no sense whatsoever.
Now imagine if I sounded like sexier than Kenny G.
But like, yeah.
It, I mean, you know, it's an echo chamber. That's what.
Yeah. He's been defeated.
Yeah, he's, by means beyond his ken.
Yeah, he is dealing with something like so vast, unknowable, almost eldritch in a way of something that's so much bigger than he is.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like last time, the thing that happened to him happened because of something he did. This time, he was like kind of an instrument in it happening.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. They figured they'd like. I mean, maybe they knew. Well, obviously they knew his history. Like he may have been pushed into this, but his obsession is his own.
Yeah.
And when they realized he like hooked into that, they were like, fuck, we just have to nudge him a little bit this way. It's not hard.
You know what's interesting? If he didn't give the information, would they still have killed him? Because he listened to the director listened to their conversation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like
that was the whole point, was to get this. And then they murk him.
Well, the idea is to make him angry so he will meet at that room.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's why I think it's like bait. It's enough to enrage him to the point where he won't think clearly enough that meeting in this strange hotel room isn't odd.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but he's still he was still had a hand in it. Paul, unfortunately, had a hand.
And it's obvious that the director's assistant was in on this.
So yeah. For sure.
It was a trap from the very beginning, but you don't know that till the very end.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, on a rewatch, it hits harder.
Yeah.
Like you see when the machinations start, you know, and it's like earlier than you think and stuff. Like,
that's wild.
It's a clockwork motherfucker. Well,
and the thing that makes me the most curious, I want to know how he got the job. Did he talk to the director? Was he contacted by phone? Like, how did he get the job in the first place? We don't know that.
Yeah. No, we just know that he's successful enough to have this apartment, the apartment for Terry Garr, his apartment. You know, like, well, his office, his apartment, the van, all the equipment, top gear equipment. So we're finding him like he's at the top of his game still. Like he's still good enough that he's getting gigs however they contact him. Yeah. I would have liked to have seen how they did it.
Yeah.
How do you get a hold of Harry Call?
Yeah. You don't call him, clearly.
This is a Boba Fett question. I don't need to know.
You.
I don't need an answer.
and it's one of those things that the director is obviously a man of means. If he needs to get something, he can get it.
Yeah.
He's got a really good assistant that's very loyal.
Yeah.
Yeah, in this economy, motherfuckers will kill motherfuckers for pennies.
Yeah.
You know, and back then, shit.
I mean,
just like cover my bill at Waffle House.
Ugh. Like,
I found one. There's one around here. It's needed more.
Oh, I'm so happy for it.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
The way this movie pans out, it's just so fucking prescient because it's a man who's a part of a really sinister system, and he finally looks behind the curtain, and it destroys him.
Yeah.
And, oh, man.
Well, you know, we're trying to lean into, like, that kind
of... We just kind of did that before it was popular, I guess. Yeah. Or, like, before, you know, we had the internet, and, like, we could actually do that more often.
Well, this calls into question, like, you know, like, what the fuck is punk anymore?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate all this shit. I hate the AI. I hate the Google. I still have this phone. It still has a microphone in it. I still carry it with me everywhere. And I still use it to access the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have no choice. Like, that's just how it is now.
Well, I mean, like, the thing is, I'm sorry, guys. I'm not on the socials much because it sucks. It's just, sorry.
Same.
Like, hit me up if you need me, but, like, I ain't fucking posting.
Join the Discord. We should
jump in the Discord.
Yeah.
Plug the Discord earlier. But
I had a couple fun memes today, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, the Discord's great. But everything else is real bad right now. Things are getting shitified and getting worse. And it's the problem when you have a bunch of tech bros in things.
Guys. Meta just released their new AR goggles or glasses. They're glasses.
No, fuck off. I don't fucking care.
Well, no, you should know what they look like so you know who to punch. It's
okay.
Sure. Or at least to point at it, ridicule. Hopefully they're behind the wheel of a Cybertruck on the side of the road.
Yeah.
I thought this shit was supposed to like get better, but like it turns out all of it is just like scams and shit, like all the way down.
All the way up.
He's, scam, yeah. You know. He's doing AR.
Oh, God, you're right. Oh, God, they look so dumb.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, they look dumb.
Yeah, they're bad. They're not great.
They're really goofy. They're ugly.
They're just, over. It's like if you went and you were at Chuck E. Cheese, okay, and you've been playing skee ball, and you went on Tuesday and you got like 200 tickets, all right, and then you went back on Wednesday and you got like 250 tickets, and you went back on Thursday and you were there early because you didn't have to work. You were there like noon and you're playing skee ball all fucking day. You get like 12,000 tickets, and then you get the oversized sunglasses. That's what they look like.
They look like the fucking 3D glasses that you get at.
And you know,
at the movie theater, like the ones that they expect you to give back at the end.
And what bugs me the most about this is because it's coming from like Meta, and a lot of these companies are like this. The whole idea is like this will make you better at your job, and it's all about like work and shit. It's like there are so many practical things that we need, like things that need solutions. They just want to make this fake shit for like a very specific demographic.
The fucking office in possessor.
Yeah, like it's not going to do anything. It's not going to help. This doesn't help people. This doesn't solve a lot. This doesn't have a need. This doesn't solve a problem.
Yeah, let me take the world around me and put more obstacles in the way.
Yeah, basically. I mean,
what was that? What was that YouTube video called? Hyper reality. I'm not gonna lie, at some point, you know, get a paycheck rolling in here and shit, I'm gonna get a VR set. It's gonna happen. But it's gonna be like in the house. I'm not trying to take it on the bus. Can you imagine wearing AR in like one of these burnt out steel mill buildings? You know, the one where just like giant chunks of fucking rusted metal are falling off the ceiling every now and again and just like hitting the ground.
AR was definitely like the whole idea of AR. If you're actually trying to bring that into reality, like this is clear for people who feel safe enough walking around in just like a city and expect to like not get shanked at any given moment.
I'll make an argument for, say, if it can help someone with, say, like disabilities, you know,
like that's a practical use for this.
If it's just like dorkometer, like
we want to sell you ads,
like squinting his like eye just to activate like his Spotify playlist on his bone induction, like ear buds. I just like hit him with like a fucking pool noodle.
Just hit him. No, just hit him.
Break the glasses. No, hit him with a pool noodle. Don't hurt him.
No, just I'm so tired of tech bros being like
hurting him doesn't everything. Do anything but bolster them. What you need to do is ridicule them. It seems to work.
Yeah. I'm just tired of tech bros being in like all these things that we love or just like making the world literally worse. And because like things have significantly like technologically, the arts, all of these things are getting worse because the people who run the business side of them don't give a fuck about them at all. And
I think it's time to stop, you know, with these corporations. I think it's time for them to stop talking about their global initiatives and their green initiatives and their planet saving initiatives when you got fucking Microsoft trying to reactivate Three Mile Island for AI.
Hey, full circle.
Hey, at least they're turning it.
That's fucking Wintermute, right? That's what they did with fucking Wintermute.
Yeah, so, it's Three Mile Island. It's one of those things where it's like, gee, I wish we could activate it because, like, to actually, like, you know,
we got all this stuff there.
Yeah, there's all this stuff there. It's all there, and you're going to activate it for this, like, this dumb shit? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. What's crazy about it is that, like, nuclear's good, like, but I think fission will be better. If it ever happens, cold fusion, forget about it. Like, that's not real.
Nuclear power,
it's
fine.
Solid state batteries, like it's just unless they make a bunch of allowances, we're not going to have that.
Yeah,
I mean, we're never going to have cold fusion. I don't think cold fusion is a thing. I think it's
I don't know.
It's also the idea too that it like it took private equity to like reactivate Three Mile Island, and it's for the dumbest shit imaginable.
Exactly,
they're running out of shit to do.
Yeah,
I mean, basically, like we could have just activated Three Mile if someone like wanted to throw money at it. Like, yeah, we're going to activate Three Mile Island, and it'll provide a lot of power to people, and you know.
Why don't you guys retrofit one of these retired nuclear submarines real quick? Go check out the Titanic. Do it real quick. Just real quick, one time.
Yeah, just check it out.
Do it 20 times. Do it 40 times. Hey, use a PS5 controller.
Yeah.
Pro tip.
Yeah. Use Microsoft Excel to map out.
Navigate with Excel. How does that work? I was having a meltdown reading that because I'm like, listen, that's 2D. I can't. I'm trying to make it 3D, and I can't do it. How do cells go diagonal? What's fucking up?
I cannot believe, like, everything. There's still shit coming out about Ocean Gate, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Why is it,
they found
it. Man.
They found pics.
It's one of those things.
Every scandal since Watergate, again, full circle.
It's a gate, but, like, gate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the actual name of the company, though.
I know.
Ocean Gate.
It's like, what the fuck?
Just send
Who's
them.
Who's writing this shit?
Send all the tech bros to the Titanic, and I will be happy. I'm just, it just bothers me of how tough everybody has it right now. Like, things are not okay right now. Like, finding work is impossible. And when you do, it pays garbage and you can't, everything's expensive. Things are really bad right now. And it's the idea of, I hear what these fucks do with their time and their money. And it's like, I want you
Sam
to.
Sam Altman straight up fucking like admitted that ChatGPT wouldn't exist without copyrighted material.
Yeah.
Like, where the fuck are you guys doing?
I know it's an election year, but hey, you know, come on, do your job real quick.
Come on.
Then we'll vote for you harder.
Well, if we're expecting the fucking Supreme Court to do fucking anything good right now.
No, they don't have to do shit. If they're indicting fucking Eric Adams, you know, they could just...
They also just put
Sam Altman, come on over here. They just got Sam Bankman Fried's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. She's going to jail for 2 years.
To death.
That's interesting.
Like,
yeah, I read that.
Evidence and shit like that.
Yeah,
even though everybody involved, like the opposition wanted him to live.
Yeah.
Because there was inconclusive evidence. And the Supreme Court was like, no, let's fucking kill him.
No, state needs to exercise its power.
Just said,
Look, if we don't flip this switch, you know, once every 4 hours, and he's next
up. Yeah, if we don't demonstrate that the state can kill you,
that's,
I wonder why people are unhappy.
Yeah,
I hate all of it. Anyway, that was the conversation, everyone. I don't know how we got to talking about where we did just now.
Well, to get back to it, let's talk about it a little bit in a more general sense. For the listeners at home, if you have never heard of this film or seen this film, and you are into cyberpunk, I think this fits kind of in the canon quite a bit.
It's
kind of a precursor to many, many, many things. It has been looked at hundreds of times. It's 33rd in like the UK's like top 100 movie list. You know, like, it's a big fuck deal for a lot of folks, but it starts out like a tone poem and then it becomes a nightmare. And it's even
all the
beautiful the second time.
Noirs do that. Like, they all, you know, noirs are meant to be a dream.
Yeah.
Because memory is unreliable.
Harry is offering, you know, a technological service, and it's one that was manipulated for the purpose of murder and gain. I don't think you can get any more cyberpunk than that if you boil it down.
Yeah. You know, I really saw myself in Harry Call when I was doing SEO for the movie War Horse.
I could see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were totally like that guy in this film.
I'm totally like that guy. I was paranoid. I was like, man, fucking Ron Howard's coming after me because he knows in the future I'm going to talk a bunch of shit about the J.D. Vance movie he made.
And what blows my mind.
I really liked his movies.
And what blows my mind the most about this film is just how much it gets right.
Oh, right?
From the little shit to fucking, the big shit. I mean,
yeah, it's prescient in so many ways because, like. Harry stumbles upon this thing that we now see as like a reality that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry's story is basically everybody's story at this, or a lot of people's stories, not everybody's story, but everybody who decides, everybody who first of all is afflicted and then later decides to try and look behind the facade that is society.
What's that like squad based game where like there's this like 4-player kind of squad based like recovery game where like you run into a building and there's like weird monsters and it'll kill you. What's it called? Something Squad? Cruelty Squad? Have you ever heard of Cruelty Squad?
Oh,
that's not the same game.
Yeah, that's a different
one. You're thinking of something else.
I'm thinking there's this other one though. I can't play it, so I can't remember what the fuck it's called. But there's like there's 4 people. You land this rocket. You have to like go into the structure and you have to like steal things.
Wait! No, I think I know what you're talking about. I was playing it.
Yeah,
Lethal Company.
Lethal Company.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Okay. Dude, and there's this one enemy that it like it'll kill a player and then mimic it. It'll take everything that it's said into the mic and then bounce it around and cut and paste it and make you think that that player's still alive.
Yeah, it's fucked. It's terrifying.
And Harry Call would shit his pants.
Yeah.
If someone put that in front of him, he would shit his pants. He'd be the opposite of showing like porn up your mic. Or, what happened? Am I too close?
Yeah. You're tapping. No.
I should. It'd be the opposite of showing a Pornhub to Benjamin Franklin, I think.
I mean, he would enjoy that. But I think it's interesting with Call of like, we get to see this through someone who's in, who does the surveillance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we see this through that person's eyes and what goes into it and how the weird morale, not the morale, I don't know. His character's morality is fascinating to me.
Yeah. He believes he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
He can't deal with people very well, but he's he could touch any machine and make it happen.
Yeah, but because like his job is literally just like, you know, eavesdropping and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like he's managed to put that into his moral compass where it's like, okay, this is just my job, but I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure many a private contractor tells themselves that. Yeah. I don't know. It's just a really well-written character. He comes off as very sympathetic, but he's not heroic in any way, shape, or form. But he tries to do the right thing.
And it ends with the thing that he never thought would happen. Like the thing that he's good at has been turned against him.
Yeah. Yes.
And he seems to have like, I don't know, because we don't get a look at every job that he's ever done or all that. But the ones we're told about, he's mostly, I mean, as shitty as it is, he's in the right most of the time, like even on the right side of the law. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, yeah, he's surreptitiously recording these people who are wandering around in public.
Yeah,
and have totally no expectation legal. Of privacy.
Yeah.
So
it's telling that the couple thinks they're safe in public.
Yeah.
Well, it's also telling that the couple picks up on someone that is following them and proceeds really not to give a shit about it.
Yeah. They're like, this is weird. You know, like that's about as far as it really goes.
That guy's been following us.
Well, because because most of the conversation is really meandering. And I think that they just threw a couple of things in there. Maybe they were talking in code.
Yeah.
If you listen to the conversation, she seems fairly clueless and he glosses over a lot of this stuff. Because she says that and he's like, oh yeah, whatever. Yeah. And there's like a couple times where he's kind of forcing the issue or bringing something up. So again, it leads me to believe who knew what on the other side of that plot.
But then again, she also sort of makes the final decision when he says, you know, Sunday morning or whatever it is, you know, maybe we'll do it Sunday morning. She says, definitely Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I don't think she's ignorant.
Yeah. No.
No. No, 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 so. No. She has too much to gain to be like unaware that this is happening around her.
Yeah. And what you said about them thinking that they're safe in public. I mean, that really transfers to today.
Well, you would, right? At the time, I think you would because
a trope. It's such a trope.
This
stuff looks like something out of a science fiction thing. That you know this fucking microphone with a scope.
Massively telescoping lens that's like covering hundreds of yards. Like it's
exactly
a long shot, like
at the time you would 100% think you were safe. You don't see anybody running around with one of those big ass cameras because cameras were big back then.
It's the same fucking thing today. I mean, we see
now we have no privacy.
Yeah, like, we have no privacy. Right. Every place is a public place. And
our phones listen to us actively.
Yeah, I hope they enjoy the performance.
The saving grace is the idea that like, you know, since there is so much data out there, then
freely given.
Yeah, well, since there's so much data out there, like you're safe as long as nobody cares about what you do.
Yeah, that's kind of like the NSA's like spy program where they openly admitted they just like listen to all our shit. But it's like you're listening to how many millions, billions of people, however many of us fucking live in this country, and it's like you have so much information, you might as well not have any.
We're collecting.
Yeah, that's why they're trying to get those like keyword scraper type things.
Yeah.
Which is why I believe everyone should speak in the truest form of their local accent as possible.
Eventually, I'm too tired to do the accent.
Learn some pig Latin.
Yeah, no, I'm too tired to like.
Ixnay on the Annunciation, pray. I can't say it. It's too late. Well, I can't fucking care.
Yeah, no, I'm too tired to do the Brooklyn accent. I can't.
Yeah. Well,
I am.
On that note,
hey, did you guys hear that?
Happy ending. Like,
did you guys hear about Eric Adams? No, I got.
Did you guys hear that Cadillac's getting rid of its fiddle?
Yeah. Oh my god.
What's happening? Cadillac's getting rid of its fiddle. I didn't. That's what I heard.
Fins.
Damn it. That is funny as shit.
I'm too tired. I don't.
That's
think
one of my favorite running jokes in the whole
yeah.
convention scene. It's really great.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is, though, to go back to that just for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's brought up as like that's the thing he did.
Yeah.
That's the
it's
thing.
A big deal.
He did.
Yeah.
That's back when, like, finding out what the new Lamborghini looked like was a big deal.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's why
TMZ exists.
That's why he's humping Harry's leg, because it's like, this guy's got nothing else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's his only call. Yeah. That's his only college street cred, is this one thing he did, which is kind of cool, but not really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to understand, like, if you see him coming towards you, you think he's wary.
Yeah,
he's like the opposite of Bob Hoskins.
Again, I'm from New Jersey. That doesn't faze me. I know so many. Though, like I've met and been around, and probably
you've worked for,
and I've worked for and related to people like this.
If you grew a mustache and I put the right hat on you, you'd be that guy.
Probably. I look better though.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, watch the movie, listener, and then find us on the Discord and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is kind of kicking off our little like. Doing a little surveillance for a while. We're going to do a couple surveillance movies here. I think we're planning on doing Enemy of the State, and then we're each going to take one and like.
Tell I thought we were going to sandwich it. Like we're talking about.
No. We're going to do Enemy of the State next, and then it's October Spoopy Month.
Yeah, 19, oh, I right. have free reign.
Yeah, but, we're going to do some spoopy shit.
I want to talk about some '90s prison movies as well. '90s science fiction,
sci-fi prison break.
Yeah. We'll get the telephone movie to you at some point.
Yeah, the telephone episode by the end of the year. Like I've said,
that's the end of the year. Yeah, yeah.
It's going to happen. Yeah. I'm getting time.
We promise. We promise.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I applied for a job at a library, which will make things easier.
Nice. Very cool.
Hell yeah.
And October is going to be fun. I'll pick out some. We're all going to pick some like spooky movies.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out which fucked up one. So, listener, if you would like us to do this either. You know what? I'll figure it out.
No, we'll figure it out. It'll be something on Tubi or something, like Freebie or something on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You guys can watch, you know.
Yeah, it'll be that.
I
mean,
I don't want to see long legs, but I don't want to make you fucking pay $20 to rent it.
No. If it is something you're going to have to buy, it's going to be like a DVD for like $1. You know what I mean?
I don't know if we're going to talk about this yet, but if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend The Substance as...
Yeah, it looks great.
I want to see it so badly.
Yeah, as your October spooktacular movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some cool ones out. Like, let's see, I want to see, what was it, Strange Darling. Mm-hmm. It sounds really cool.
Yeah, that'll look cool.
I know just enough about it to be like, yeah, that sounds cool. I don't want to know more. Let's see, what else is there? I still haven't had a chance to see the one about the Big Feet.
Big Feet?
It's like a comedy, and like Jesse Eisenberg plays one of them or something, and like there's like Bigfoot fucking... It looks really funny.
Cool.
They're all just like kind of ooga booga running around in these like Bigfoot suits. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, fine. That sounds great.
I'll watch anything where Big Feet fuck.
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called. And we did just watch Lake Mungo, which fucking rocked. That's a really good kind of mockumentary found footage movie from Australia that has been recommended to me for years. And boy, does it pay off. It's really good.
Guys, I'm falling asleep.
Yeah, fuck you. You're up now. Drink that Red Bull. Pull the eject button. We're never stopping this train. Beep, beep. All systems are fully functioning. Running lowlife.exe. System optimization is less than nominal. Server damage detected. Please stop whatever you're doing and make your way to the nearest exit. Technical support is full of heat. Experiencing critical ignition. That's right. System failure.
failure imminent. I hope you are proud of yourself. Initiating the Low Life Podcast.